Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen. This is the good word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, send forth your Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures and bless this charge, this message from your word about the critical need to raise up leaders. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name, and let us all say amen. Well, Chuck and Jake and elders and deacons of Cedar Church, I urge you this morning to join me in raising up the next generation of leaders in Christ's church. Thus saith the Lord. Now, I know it's hard work. Raising up leaders is hard work. It's easier to just do it yourself. It's easier to not bother people. It's easier to simply rinse and repeat for your 3-year term as an officer and then call it good. But who's going to replace you? Do you know the name of the man who is going to replace you? What if no one steps forward? Who is going to minister in the name of Jesus to you, your family, your brothers and sisters here at Cedar, and to people in need here in Georgetown Township and around the world? If nobody steps up, who will replace you? For my doctoral project, I last year sent out a questionnaire to my buddies in ministry. It's fun. I sent out a questionnaire to about 40 mid-career and later career Orthodox Presbyterian ministers who I believed had done a laudable job as leaders in Christ Church, and I asked them some questions. I learned so much. One thing I learned is this: by the painful admission of many of my friends and peers, that 20% of those I surveyed humbly and honestly acknowledge they could tell no story or list a single example of a young church leader whom they had ever personally raised up. you know, their honest answers are worthy of respect. I really respected my brothers for telling me the truth, and it prompted me and us to take inventory of our lives. And I want to pause to tell you today, one reason why we don't raise up leaders in church is because it's hard work. But this is God's way. This is how God has chosen to reach, teach, and build up his church on earth through the grace of Jesus and hard work. And if it's not your work, and if it's not my work, he will use someone else's work, and then they will hear the precious words of Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All because of God's grace and hard work. So that brings us this morning to our first point. Raising up church leaders takes strength from God. You can see that in verse 1. Look down at your Bible or your device and read verse 1. I'll read it out loud. It says this: "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Stop right there. There's the word. Did you see it? Strength. Raising up leaders is hard work. We know it because Paul says it takes strength. Be strong. And so as the saying goes, if you are not fit, you will quit. Or I made up a new one last night as I was laying in bed and wished I had it to flash up on the screen. But if you are not strong, you won't last long. All right, so we could have fun with this. This would be a good junior high Sunday school activity, right? Yes. It's almost as if Paul in verse 1 is saying, Timothy, other people are quitting, but you cannot quit. Stay strong. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he talks about other quitters. He mentions a few quitters by name. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is what he says. He says to Timothy, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes." Now, Hermogenes and Phygellus had left Paul. And in fact, in verse 15, it's as if he's feeling like all of Asia is abandoning me. And so Paul here in chapter 2, verse 1, says, Timothy, you can't be like them. Don't quit. Be strong. Be strong. All right, so how do you get this strength? How do you get this strength? You know, I like to tell people, and I always especially tell this story after a man has been freshly ordained. Jake. But I tell people, God tricked me into being a pastor. I really felt like he tricked me. When I was young, he gave me some early victories, some easy victories, and I'm like, this pastoring thing is piece of cake. Piece of cake. Just ask my youth group. They think I'm doing a great job. Just ask my college Bible study. I thought this pastor thing would be pretty easy, and then I got ordained, and God said, unleash the hounds. It's hard work. Who is sufficient for such things? Where is strength to be found? Paul goes on to give the answer. Look again in verse 1. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timid Timothy must find strength not in himself, but in Jesus Christ alone. Let me put it to you this way. We are saved by grace, and then we live by grace. It's all grace. The strength you need is from grace alone, and if you look for that grace, and if you pray for that grace, and if you stir up that grace, you will taste grace. You'll experience the grace to be strong. This brings us to our next point. How do you raise up leaders? How do you do it? And verse 2 gives us our instructions. Verse 2 is our instruction manual. Verse 2 says this, look there with me as I read out loud. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Now, that is the Bible's definition of raising up leaders. It is pastors raising up pastors, elders raising up elders, deacons raising up deacons, teachers raising up teachers, Sunday school teachers raising up Sunday school teachers, women's committee leaders raising up women's committee leaders. That is the gospel practice in verse 2. Now, I want you to also notice in verse 2 that four generations are always involved at every and any given moment. In verse 2, look there with me again, you see Christ taught Paul, Paul taught Timothy, Timothy taught faithful men, and faithful men taught other faithful men. There it is. The four generations, always involved. You could put it this way at Cedar, Pastor Grotenhouse taught Pastor Larry, Pastor Larry taught Pastor Steve is teaching you, and you teach someone else. This is what we must do. And so if you're merely a listener to your leader, if you're even a doer under your leader, but you are the last link in the chain and you're not passing it along, then you are not following the biblical command. Let me put it to you this way. It's not biblical if it stops with you. If what you have learned from someone else stops with you and does not go on, it is not biblical. You know, when I was in high school, I had a little country and western side to me. It was just a couple years and I recovered. But in the Christian world, there was this group that really sounded to me like, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys for Christian singers. It was the Gaither Vocal Band. You know, the Gaithers, they've been around. They'll outlive me. I think the Gaithers will outlive me. They've been around for so long. But I remember one of the songs that they sang called Passing the Faith Along. And it was very simple, but I still think about it. It says, passing the faith along to my brother, passing the faith along. Helping to build the faith of another, passing the faith along. Sharing a word of hope with my brother, helping to make him strong. Passing the faith along to my brother, passing the faith along. Now, when that music was playing, and it was pretty bouncy, so if you like country, and if you like, yeah, if you like the Oak Ridge Boys or the Statler Brothers, like I grew up listening to with my mom and dad, yeah, it seems easy. But then when you try to pass it along, you're like, forget it, I'll just do it myself. You know, do the math problem for your child, right? It's just easier. I want to go to bed. Clean up for the children, you know, after they make a mess. It's just easier than gathering them back and showing them how. It's easier to do it yourself. It's harder to teach others to do it. But it's God's way. All right, so how can you pass that faith along? How can you pass it along? Well, firstly, verse 2 is going to tell us some additional things. Firstly, be a lifelong learner yourself. Look again at verse 2. Be a lifelong learner. And it says, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. So you need to be a listener yourself before you pass it along. And sometimes in Western education and modern education, we think education quits when you get the diploma. Some of us adults think Sunday school is for children. Some of us think that I've been an officer one term or two terms. I know what I'm doing. Well, I came to that reality mid-career as a minister as I hit 40, 10 years ago. I had more questions than answers. I seem more clueless now and less confident than when I was 29 and graduated from divinity school and knew all the answers. Just ask me. You've got to be a lifelong learner yourself. Paul says that you need to hear things from him before you pass them on to others. And to do this, you need to be a fat disciple. Now, by fat, I don't mean what we struggle with as our bodies age. But by fat, Paul, what I'm talking about are words Paul uses to describe the best leaders. They're fat leaders. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful. He says you need to entrust this to faithful men. So faithful leaders are those who are faithful. They show up to church. They are here on Sundays. They're here in the morning. They're here in the evening. They want to be with God and be with God's people. They show up to a leadership class. One reason I have leadership class Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. is because, one, I know a Dutchman loves a Saturday. I learned that 15 years ago when I moved to Hudsonville, Jenison. So I think the community here could build Rome on a Saturday. So I knew a man loves his Saturdays, and I'd say, well, if he'll come and give me 8 to 9:15 on a Saturday morning, he's faithful. Now, it doesn't mean you might have a good reason why you can't come Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to learn about leadership. I understand that, but that's when I'm here. Can you be faithful to the person mentoring you? Can you be faithful to the person teaching you? Are you there? Are you faithful? And then are you available? Like, is your head in the game? Is your mind there? Like, this is my church. These are my people. This is my community. This is my Lord. I own this. I am fully available. Or are you distracted? Now, you might be distracted by good things, a blossoming career. You might be working on some physical projects that you love. You might be serving in the community, doing great things, but then you're not available. You have to be available to Christ's mission for his local church. You've got to be available. And then thirdly, you've got to be teachable. And sadly, something happens to our teachability every year we age. Every year. I have to fight unteachability more now than ever before, because you sort of have this feeling, been there, done that, bought that t-shirt. I know where that's going. I know what you're about to say. No, you don't. Are you teachable? To be a good leader, to be God's leader, you need to be a fat leader. Now, once you are that kind of leader yourself, then you've got to find others. You got to find other fat people, faithful, available, teachable people. And they cannot be people who simply want to be taught and then break the chain right there. They've got to be people who want to be taught so they can pass it along. Passing it along. Taking what they receive. Passing it along. And so you have to find a faithful, available, teachable person who wants to find faithful, available, teachable people so that they will find faithful, available, teachable people, and on and on. Otherwise, it is not God's plan. Now, have I mentioned all of this is hard work? It's why we don't do it. It's why the first 10 years of my ministry as a pastor, I didn't do this. I was too busy writing sermons, figuring out how to counsel, figuring out how to organize worship services. I didn't want to be bothered by this other stuff, as if this was other stuff. It's gospel stuff. But it's hard work, and so the Apostle Paul and the rest of the passage, to illustrate how much hard work it takes and how much grace from Jesus we need, he gives three earthly examples and three spiritual examples to convince us how much work raising others takes and how much grace you need. First, you've got to have the dedication of a soldier. That's verse 3. The dedication of a soldier. Let me read verse 3 to you. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. All right, so some of you have family members who are in the military. Some of you have loved ones even now in basic training. We're praying for one of our our brothers in basic training. His son is in basic training this week. And soldiers need a lot of dedication. You don't always get the sleep you want. You have to march in the rain. You get little to eat. You rush into danger. You risk your life. And dear church, that's what it's required to invest spiritually in people. Dedication. There's that slogan with the military, the Marines, Semper Fi, always faithful. You have got to be very dedicated in raising up someone to replace you in Christ Church. And it's going to sometimes feel like you're taking bullets, like people don't really care, like there's a lot of distraction, a lot of warfare going on, and you've got to stay dedicated to raising up your replacement. You've got to treat it like a soldier, not a civilian. Now, civilians have the luxury of going into civilian life. And we sometimes let soldiers off for civilian rest. That's called a sabbatical. And I want to urge our brothers on sabbatical, enjoy your sabbatical, rest up, don't get sucked into subcommittees, don't get sucked into subcommittees. Rest, enjoy. But most of the time, you have to report to duty, active and ready to get it done. So you're going to have to be dedicated to raise up leaders. Secondly, Paul says you're going to have to play your sport by the rules. Look at verse 5. He says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Every sport has rules, including being a leader in church has rules. You have to learn them. Firstly, there are rules of sportsmanship. How do you conduct yourself? How do you react when you lose? Are you a good sport or a bad sport? How do you act when you win? Do you like rub people's nose in it? How is your sportsmanship when you're hungry or when you're tired? When you go to a meeting at the end of a long day, are you a good sport? But not only are there rules of sportsmanship, there's also rules of conduct. In other words, you've got to know how to play the game. You know, in a game, there are certain boundary lines. And to get the point, you have to cross that line, not those lines. If you cross those lines, we lose. But if you cross this line, we win. And by the way, you've got 45 seconds to call the play and get it executed. And you've got to stay in your lane. Your lane is there, mine is here. We're not playing zone, we're playing man-to-man this week. You stay in your zone, I'll stay in mine. I'll meet you at the goal line. And so you must learn the rules. You have to learn the rules of sportsmanship. You have to learn the rules of conduct. You got to play by the rules. Thirdly, you have to work hard like a farmer. That's verse 6. Paul says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. For this sermon, I'm going to focus on the hardworking farmer phrase. Have you noticed how hard farmers have to work while they still control so little? Think about it. Farmers work as hard as anybody. We'd probably say they work harder than most people we know. And yet they do it week after week, having no control over the weather, no control over rainfall. They can't control an outbreak of pestilence, an early unexpected frost, the soil quality that they inherited in the farm that they have. It's a wonder farmers don't quit. You remember a couple years ago when the frost killed all the apples up in Fruit Ridge? I mean, the first Yeah, they're just starting to blossom. The frost comes. And I knew farmers who just had to call it a loss. How do they keep going? But you see, Jesus says church leadership's the same way. You've got to keep your hand at the plow and not look back. You have got to labor when the weather isn't good, when the soil isn't conducive. You keep laboring. Because only then, promises Jesus, will you reap a harvest. Will souls be saved? Will revival come? Will reformation take place all through the tears and sweat and pain that the Lord of the harvest uses to bless the work? But you've got to work like a farmer. All right, so let's pause there a minute. We got the three earthly examples. No victory, says Paul, in raising up leaders unless you're dedicated like a soldier, if you play by the rules, and you toil like a farmer. Now, some of us who feel we're a little more spiritual than these secular analogies, and I'm always amazed at how people get mad. I'm a business major. I like business. Business is not a bad word in any church I'm pastoring. I like analogies from the earth. I like farming analogies. I like sporting analogies. I like soldiering analogies. I like business analogies. I like business. Okay? If I were a historian, I'd like history. You'd hear history stories, all that. But I studied business. But the Bible goes on to say not only are there secular examples that Jesus uses to teach us about leadership, he gives us three spiritual examples. So some of us who say the church isn't about military or athletics or farming or business, okay, we'll give you the spiritual examples. And he starts in verse 8. And he says, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. In verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. And so Paul's preaching this gospel that we preach here at Cedar, that all of his church who follows Christ has offered in the gospel preaches. It's a beautiful gospel. Paul calls it the sound teaching in 2 Timothy. Paul calls it, 2 Timothy, a deposit of the gospel. He did not invent it. No, it was entrusted to him. And this gospel teaches that Jesus, the God-man, the son of David, was born, lived, died, buried, risen, and ascended for our sins. And Paul says that gospel we preach actually teaches us how to raise up leaders. And this is what it teaches us. Jesus illustrates that death is always the gateway to life and pain is always the pathway to glory. And that's what it's going to feel like when you're trying to raise up a leader at church. It's going to feel painful. It is going to feel like you are pouring yourself out, trying to raise up someone to replace you one day so you can serve elsewhere. It's hard work. But Paul says in the gospel, don't forget, the one who died rose from the dead. The one who was born a lowly son of David is now exalted at the Father's right hand. And so Timothy, when you are tempted to avoid the suffering of raising up future leaders, Timothy, when you are tempted to avoid the humiliation, the pain that comes with ministry, remember Jesus and think again. This is the Savior's way. The Savior's way is no pain, no gain. That's the Savior's way. The pain of raising up leaders is the same painful path Jesus took to save us from our sins. Remember Jesus. But now he's on a roll. Paul mentions a next spiritual example. And here you go. He says this, remember me. The Apostle Paul. Look at Paul's experience, you leaders of the church. Verse 9, he says, this gospel for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Paul had to suffer as he made disciples and raised up leaders. And Paul says, I had to do it even when I was innocent of the crimes they charged me with. Paul was a Roman citizen. He wasn't supposed to be imprisoned without trial like he was. And yet he was. He was chained like that common thief crucified next to Jesus, even though a Roman citizen. In fact, he embraced the chains because he found that those chains gave him a captive audience to preach Jesus to. And he brags, or he brags in Paul's way, a good way, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. He says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." So the Gentiles in jail heard him preach. And some of them were even saved, those who were elect, who were prepared by God. 2 Timothy 2:10 says it. It says, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And so Paul endured the chains, he endured the pain, he endured the need for endurance for the salvation of some. And that's the hard part. When you're a leader and you invest, some people are like that seed that they joyfully accept it for a moment and then they're gone. Some people will fight you all their life, fight you all their life. They won't, they're not, they're incorrigible. They will not listen. They will not, you ask them how they're doing. You're a deacon and they're like, fine. And they're not fine. Everybody knows they're not fine except for them. And you've got to keep asking them. And you just want to say, and then you remember, but for the sake of the elect, the ones God wants me to serve, I will tarry. But not only is it the experience of Jesus that compels us, not only is it the experience of Paul that compels us, but it is just, okay, here we are. It is the experience, thirdly, of the whole early Christian church. This is how church life in the first century was. Maybe you have a favorite hymn. I sometimes quote favorite hymns in a sermon, and Paul quotes a favorite hymn, a poem, a psalm, a saying that somehow had become a common thing sung or recited by the early church. Scholars call it a New Testament hymn, and look at the lyrics to it in verses 11 through 13. It goes like this. Now, I could only wonder what the melody would be or how they did it. "If we died with him, we will also live with him." Verse 12. "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Now, Paul quotes this favorite hymn, this saying of the early Christian church, a liturgical something or another. Because in that song, Christ is being a Christian is depicted as a regular life of dying and then enduring. Dying and then enduring. Dying and then enduring. Dying to Christ, but then enduring. I die again to Christ, but then I endure. And in that song, he says, if at some point you ever disown the dying and the enduring, Christ will disown you. That's not part of the gospel. You cannot disown the dying and enduring part of the Christian faith. If you disown that, Christ will disown you. But then the song ends on a cheerful note. And it's that, however, if you don't disown the dying and the enduring, then and instead you just struggle with it, you struggle with it, your faith struggles with it, well, that's okay. Christ will be faithful to you. If you are faithless, he will be faithful to you. All right. So looking over this chapter, Paul is hammering one single lesson, and this is a lesson for Chuck, it is a lesson for Jake, it is a lesson for all of our elders, all of our deacons, and lay leaders in their ministry. And that is, raising up leaders in the name of Christ takes work. It will come with pain, but fruit will come from your toil. Life will come through your dying. Glory will come through your suffering. So stick with it. Like a farmer, you will reap a harvest. Stick with it. Like our Savior, you will enjoy resurrection victory. Don't be surprised that it's hard. It's the Savior's way. But the good news, we worship a resurrected Savior. And let all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gospel of Christ. We thank you that Christ indeed suffered and endured. He died and endured. And this is the call of your church. And we are not able, Lord, without Christ in us, without the Holy Spirit's fullness filling us. It's too much to be a farmer and an athlete and a soldier, following Jesus, Paul, and the early church. If that's what it takes to get the next Sunday school teacher or the next deacon or the next elder or young pastor, we're ready to throw in the towel. Unless you give us your grace. Give grace to Brother Chuck and Brother Jake. Give grace to our elders and deacons with our pastors. Fill us with that determination. Help us not to be surprised by the hardship of raising up next generation leaders. Thank you for hearing us. We humbly pray this in Jesus' name. Let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jennison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.